Hey guys, welcome to AIN 1.7, our penultimate class, second to last class in the Ayurvedic Integrative Nutrition course. Our final class is next Saturday, March 21. That will be a live class. I'm asking if you can put aside 2.5 hours for that class because we've got a lot to cover. We are going to be covering the subtle body, basically, Ayurveda and stress reduction, the importance of stress reduction, plus some tools for that. Ayurveda in the mind, food and prana, food in the mind, subtle body issues. And we will also next week, I want to talk to you at that point also about AIN2, some of the things we're going to be going into with a lot more depth and the practices that we're going to really be cultivating in AIN level 2. For those of you who are registered for that and those of you who are still considering it. And then also next week, we're going to be having a number, at least a couple more case studies to give you more of a sense again of the application of these fundamentals that you've been learning over these 8 weeks. So I look forward to being with you next week. I always look forward to being with you. And I feel so grateful that we have such a beautiful class of wise and wonderful souls. Thanks for being a part of this. This class, what I want to talk about is seasonal resets. I used to call them seasonal cleanses. A lot of people call them Ayurvedic detox, but I prefer the term seasonal reset because really the reset is giving the person what they need, because the reset is designed to optimize digestion. And once a person has optimal digestion, as you know, you've been learning these past 7 weeks, then they are going to have the capacity basically to burn away the toxins as well as optimize nourishment and the absorption of the nutrients from their food. So it's that strong Agni that gives optimal health, strong health, good ojas, which we're all talking about now. We need good immune function. And so the seasonal reset will help a person both optimize their Agni, but it'll also help them to balance the dosha, because it's going to help them come into alignment with the dosha of the season to better balance the dosha that they're living through that season. So really a reset, I think, is a proper term. I think it's also a more positive term. I know a lot of people go for cleanses and a lot of people go for detoxes, but that term, those terms sort of imply that there's something wrong with us, that we're dirty, we're toxic, we're not doing well, we're not eating right. And I like to be more positive in how we address it as well, because a lot of us may need a cleanse, we may need a detox, we may need a reset, but through no fault of our own. We live in a world where the air, water, food may be polluted, and we're doing the best we can, but we're still picking up on those pollutants. We may travel and pick up parasites or different digestive disorders, etc. You know where I'm going with this. I like to make it as positive as I can to let people know that your body is a miracle, your body is a genius, your body is nature, every bit as mighty and majestic, every bit as glorious and gorgeous and generative, and you have the capacity to heal as well as get rid of those toxins. Again, I think so much in our world today does two things. It debilitates our sense of our own power. And secondly, it frightens us with this overwhelming sense that the world out there is going to get us, that the world is full of bad bacteria and toxic food and all kinds of corporate this and that. Everybody's trying to get us, right? You know, and it almost ends up sounding like a dangerous world. But the intelligence of nature is designed to support us. And the intelligence of nature is designed to meet the intelligence of our internal nature. We're meant to work in sync with nature and the world out there. It's not meant to be a scary place. And if and when there are threats to our health, then we are meant to be able to overcome those threats with nature's support. Of course, it's going to take, as we'll talk about next week, a calm mind. My hashtag, I guess, term lately has been stay calm, immune on, because calm is the essence of ojas, right? So the essence of cultivating and preserving a good ojas, a good immune system, is to stay calm. But it's also to trust that we have this magnificent power within us to overcome imbalance and to overcome these threats, these microbial threats to our body. So that's one thing that I really want to say. I really want to remind you of that. And I really want to secondly encourage you to share today, to share now what you know and what you've been learning with your friends and your family, because the world really needs the calm that comes from feeling empowered. So it's really time for Ayurveda and all people who are trained in Ayurveda to share what we know with the world, because what we know can really go a long way to help strengthen, to help to regenerate those who are needing that extra regeneration, and to help calm those who already are pretty strong and pretty, balanced in their doshas. It's really now, this is the time that we have been preparing ourselves for, and it is you have the wisdom and you have information that can really help people, not just to stay calm, but to stay strong and to stay healthy. So please, I want to encourage you to get out there and spread the word about Ayurveda. And even if you think you know nothing, at least you know about ojas, and you know about khichdi, and you know about sattvic food and sattvic diet and sattvic living. And a lot of you are already yoga teachers, so you know about meditation, you know about mantra, you know about moving the body in ways that are very productive for regeneration and for health. So please, please don't be shy, because the world needs you right now. We need you so much. We really need you now more than ever. I sort of think of ourselves as a force, as circles of light that can echo and reverberate out, circles and echoes of wisdom that can reverberate out. And the wisdom of love that can reverberate out and wrap the world, embrace the world in love. And just to take a moment right now and really feel that in your heart, I invite you to really feel in your heart that your heart is full of light and full of love and full of wisdom. And you and I, we are one part of the whole one. We are whole within ourselves, and we are part of the whole that is glorious and good, mighty and majestic, radiant and regenerative. And let yourself really just feel that now. Really feel the power of you and the power of our connection, our togetherness, our circles of light and healing. Let yourself feel that from your heart, where there's all that beauty and light and wisdom and majesty, let yourself feel it linking up into a network of light that embraces the world. And let us just say together, Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. May all beings everywhere know the sukha of the heart. May all beings everywhere know the power of the heart. May all beings everywhere come together in the heart, in the one heart. And let us all be together for each other now when we need each other so much. We are all in this together. And let's rise up and be those light warriors that we know ourselves to be. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Om tarma kaming jamahe sukadim pushtivarnam. Urdhvaro kamiya bananam ichyamakshimam itaram.
Yeah, so let's go now and actually talk about these cleanses. I want to talk about them in terms of you using them and you sharing them with your community. My hope for this training is that you will go out from here and share this with your peers and your cohorts. It's in AIN level 2 where we're going to really look at the application of all these principles for working one-on-one, for being actually a coach or a nutritional consultant. At the end of AIN 1, my hope for you is that you would be able to share Ayurveda basics. You could teach people, you could have a workshop on Ayurveda and the five elements, Ayurveda, five elements and three doshas. You could do a workshop on the six tastes and have people each sample the different tastes. You might even want to do a class on how to make khichdi. So you could introduce the six tastes for the doshas, and then show people how to make khichdi and then sit and eat it together. That's a class that I've done many, many, many times, and it's always a lot of fun and people seem to really enjoy it. It's a lot of work, I have to say, to prep it. You need to create stations, etc., for, you know, all the people to get involved and help out. But it is really a lot of fun. And it's a great way to supplement what you might already be doing or teaching. So if you're a yoga teacher, it's really great to be able to offer Ayurveda as a way to help your yogis, your students, take yoga off the mat and into their daily life. If you're already some kind of a health practitioner or health coach, then, of course, giving people the basics of Ayurveda, five elements, three doshas, is a great way to teach them more about how to take care of themselves. Really teaching them these fundamentals is about encouraging their own self-care. So I hope you will do that. And I hope you will also share cleanses. Cleanses are a great way to bring the community together and a great way to really bring them together around the table. whether it's an online cleanse or it's an in-person cleanse. The best is an in-person cleanse. You could start with a class at your yoga studio or your health place, whatever it might be, and you can introduce people to the idea of a cleanse. Why we eat certain foods certain times of year and why we cleanse certain times of the year and what a cleanse is meant to really bring us and do for us in terms of restoring Agni. But it's also a really nice thing. I used to start my cleanse with a yoga practice, and we would do a really deep cleansing yoga practice that had a lot of twists and a lot of expansion, a lot of things to really help circulation. But we also had a deep, deep, deep restorative finish to the class so that the body could really relax, release, and let go. So really nice two-part aspect to a yoga class. If you are a yoga teacher, that's a nice way to kick off a cleanse. And then you can finish your cleanse with a communal table, gathering everybody together for a meal. And everybody can bring some cleansing dish and you come together to enjoy it. Maybe you're not going to do that this month or next month, but I hope that is something that you'll do once we are out of this period of social isolation and able to get together and be within 6 feet of our friends and our colleagues and our students. Because it really, really is. Also, part of the reset is to share in community. Community, of course, is so healing. Okay, so let me go to share screen, and I'm going to pull up the cleanses that are loaded to you, for you, on the AIN member page. So as I said, those are here on the member page. And I'll start at the top with the spring cleanse. I'm going to go through them one season at a time. And then I want to come back to the spring cleanse because I know that's what you are all going to be doing very soon. And so let's open the spring cleanse. And as we, please, if you'd like to come along with me, open it as well and on your end. But let me just start by saying, typically in Ayurveda, the primary time for cleansing, detoxifying, or doing some kind of a panchakarma treatment is in the spring. But in India, spring is considered to start March 1st. And Holi, for instance, which is usually in early March, is that celebration of spring which has started. We technically think of spring as starting March 22nd at the time of the spring equinox. And then for a lot of people, depending where you live, spring might not really seem to appear until April or even early May. It just depends on where you live. But the thing that is important to think about is it's that transitional time when we go from winter, cold, heavy, stagnant, dry, retracted, internal, to feeling that there's warmth and that the plants are starting to come alive and blossom, and our own internal freeze begins to melt. We want to get ahead of that. So if spring does start to blossom for you, let's say April 1st, it is good to do it in mid to late March. You can do it anytime, March, April, even early May. But you also want to be considering that point where winter really does seem to be ending and spring is just around the corner is the best time. Because in the spring cleanse, we're doing a lot of that melting. And in order to melt, we need to bring in heat. The later in the spring you do that, the closer you're getting to summer, the closer you're getting to the summer solstice, the more that there is already heat now in nature. The sun is getting stronger. The sun is getting longer, let's say, the days are getting longer. So we have more of the sun's light, warmth, heat, radiance to already do that work for us, right? So think about how you're going to modify the cleanse if you are doing it mid to late spring versus just before spring or just at the start of spring. So lots of heat is in a spring cleanse. Modify that heat if you're doing it later in the season. And so panchakarma, by the way, if you're not familiar with panchakarma, is pancha means five, karma means actions. And panchakarma means these five primary actions that are available. They're not all used, but they're available to be used to help detoxify the body. Typically, a panchakarma is a minimum of a 14-day stay at an Ayurvedic treatment center where they are going to feed you very, very sattvic foods, where they're going to make sure that your sleep is really deep and productive, where they're going to give you warm oil massages daily, first to really calm the body, but second to really oleate the body, and to get the oils in, because remember, most toxins are lipophilic. They love lipos or fats more than they are hydrophilic, more than they love water. Water is fine. We need to keep the body hydrated, and hydration can really help with detoxification. Hydration can help feed the mucous membranes throughout the body, in the digestive tract, etc. Without that, we dry up. When we dry up, we hold on. So of course, we do need water. But the oils will really help to grab the toxins, grab the sticky ama, and over the course of the Panchakarma, be drawn to the organs of elimination for elimination. And then the Panchakarmas are introduced as well. And the Panchakarmas can be enemas, it can be vamana, which is to actually vomit, it can be to cause purgation. They're quite strong, they're quite powerful. And that's why we always, you know, Ayurveda always says 14 days minimum, because you have to prepare the body. You have to maintain and guard and watch over the body during the intense period of the Panchakarmas. And then you want to restore the body. So 14 days minimum, 21 days is preferred. Panchakarma is done in the spring because it's the time when the body is most available for its detoxification. It's a natural time of year when nature and the human body is wanting to do that work of detoxification. It's also important that we do it in the spring, because if we don't, then once summer comes, we've got toxins in the body and then heat builds, and now we've got fire burning toxins, and we have a toxic mess in the body that can cause inflammation, and that can cause all kinds of ultimate imbalances and diseases, as you know. So spring is the ideal time. And so what I used to, my first cleanse that I ever offered was in the spring. And I used to offer a long spring cleanse. I used to make that a 21-day cleanse. And the other cleanses were anywhere from 5 to 7 to 10 days. They were shorter cleanses. Those were really more resets. Those were really more about adjusting to the time of year and the foods available at the time of the year, and adjusting ourselves doshically. Another thing about a cleanse as a reset to bear in mind is that this idea of reset is so important, because all of us, even the best of us, right? Even the most disciplined can get habituated, can fall into those habits of, you know, whatever it might be, too much sweet, too much salt, a little bit of junk food here, a little bit of this there. So even the people who are the best eaters, and as I said, the most disciplined, often will join me for a cleanse because they want that reset. And what are we doing with the reset? We talked a lot about Agni. Part of the Agni, in other words, part of the digestive process, is that you have receptors, and you have receptors for salt, and you have receptors for fat, and you have receptors for sweet. And so once we've conditioned our receptors to be getting a daily dose of salt, sweet, fat, etc., then they're going to be asking for it every day. So part of a cleanse is to go towards somewhat more bland eating to help reset the receptors, so that the body's no longer asking you to eat junk or eat excess salt or eat too much fat, etc. You see what I'm saying? So part of it is a receptor reset. Those receptors are part of the totality of Agni, right? If we're thinking of Agni as a totality of our digestive system. But it's an important distinction to make between the receptor reset and the Agni as the digestive fire in the belly reset. That reset is also happening. We're resetting the Agni towards, from the three impaired states of Agni, towards the Sama Agni, the state of pure, balanced, sattvic Agni, right? So we're resetting receptors, we're resetting the Agni to Sama Agni, and then we're adjusting ourselves to the dosha of the season. And all of that is going to help the body burn away toxins, lighten up, and, you know, operate better, right? So our physiology will function better, our immunity will function better, and we will feel better. We'll have less foggy minded, we'll feel clearer, we'll have less fatigue, we'll feel more energetic, we'll feel less of the negative emotions, we'll feel more positive, we'll feel more hopeful, we'll have a stronger immune function so that we can ward off any kind of bacteria or viruses. So cleansing as a reset as a cleanse is so essential, and it's certainly good to do it 4 times a year. But as I said earlier, I'm going to just repeat it. It's not about saying you're toxic, so you have to come do a cleanse with me, right? It's more about let's enjoy doing something together where we get to eat together, even if we're cooking at home and eating at home separately. We're all in this together. It's really wonderful and inspiring to join together as a community and to celebrate nature's bounty, especially in the spring when nature's come back from her winter sleep. And she's really rising up in so much color and variety and beauty. And it's almost exciting, really, to get to the farmer's market. It's exciting to look at the recipes that we're going to cook and think about where we're going to pull these ingredients and how we're going to find them and where they've come from. And to think about nature's intelligence, how beautifully nature is responding to our needs in this season, especially in spring, when we need her more than ever to help us to detoxify. So in the manual, I always start, and I'm going to give you what I was thinking when I created these manuals, because I want you to be able to take this manual and run with it. These manuals are for you to use. I've got a little copyright down at the bottom, Laura Plum, lauraplum.com. If you want to just use it straight as, go ahead and use it straight as. If you want to take these booklets and sort of rejig them into your own color scheme and your own font scheme and your own logo, that's fine too. I would just ask that you keep the credit in, okay? That's all you need to do. Otherwise, it's yours to use. And please, I really invite you to use it. And if you like to just use it as is, go offer a cleanse to your community next week or next month. But just to give you, I don't want to just give you the manual. You can read the manual yourself. I want to give you my thinking as I was pulling these different manuals together. As I said, I started to say, I didn't know anybody offering cleanses when I first started. I started, I think, in 2011. Maybe it was spring of 2011, might have been 2012. And at that point, I didn't know. There may have been others doing Ayurvedic cleanses. All I knew is that Khichdi was the most cleansing food, and that there was certain Ayurvedic staples, and that spring was the best time to do a cleanse. And so I did a lot of research, a lot of reading about Ayurveda, but also a lot of reading about cleansing in general and what the body needs for a successful cleanse. And all of that research is here, basically, in these cleanse booklets. When I run cleanses, I always pick the dates, and I like to start a cleanse on a Sunday. And let's say it's a 7-day cleanse, which we are going to be doing April 5th to 11th this year. Let's say you have a 7-day cleanse. What I like to do is have a Saturday morning phone or Zoom or some kind of an online webinar class call so that everybody can come together, and I like to present why Ayurveda likes to do a cleanse at all, why I like to call it a reset instead of a cleanse, why spring or this season is important, what our principles are, what our objectives are, what the logistics are, and basically then do a Q&A so that everybody has a chance to really unite and see you and hear you and feel you, and to get behind this idea and this motivation. The very best thing you can offer people is to join you in starting together at the same time, because so often people will do the cleanse because of the group, whereas if they're left on their own, they keep kind of putting it off. So motivating them to start the next day. Now you've had the call on Saturday, they've got their booklet, they know that they're going to start on Sunday. Sunday's a day one of the cleanse. That gives them Saturday to do the shopping, to do any prep they want to do, to have that final meal even if they want to. And they wake up Sunday morning ready to go. Nice thing is that on a Sunday, they have their first day where they can, you know, rest and also do some prep. And they can even put food together for Monday, maybe Tuesday. Obviously, Ayurveda says that everything should always, always be prepared fresh. And that means breakfast, lunch, and dinner should be prepared fresh. And in an ideal world, we'd pick the food and then come home and cook it and make our meal that fresh. But that's pretty impossible for most of the world. And even for working people, it's not going to be that possible to prepare those meals fresh So it's okay if people need to prepare on Sunday, even if it's preparing, say, like a detox pesto or some of the pieces or the juices or the sauces that go around it, even if it's just preparing to have all the food ready, okay? And to refrigerate it overnight, give people a 24-hour leeway there. I mean, I feel like if we don't give people leeways, they're not gonna be able to do it. And it's better to do something at 90% or even at 50% than to not do it all. And by the way, I've had some feedback from people who have said, I did this cleanse at 50%. I wasn't all in, I couldn't. And nonetheless, it totally changed how I feel. How I feel physically, how I feel emotionally, how I feel energetically, right? How I feel mentally. I've had people say that. And so really another thing I like to do on Saturday is encourage people, no matter what, do something and don't worry if you don't do it all. Because every step you take in the direction of your health, your body will reward you for that. And remember that, write that down, make that your motto. Every step you take in the direction of your health, your wellness, your body will reward you for that. Your body is loving and generous and regenerative, and it wants to be healthy. Sometimes it just needs tweaks, right? Sometimes it's just the steps in the direction that build momentum, that show the body that at least we're going in the right direction, right? Sometimes we just need direction and we need to start taking those steps. Sometimes I've known in the past when I was sick, if I was sick for a while, all I need is to know that I'm moving in the right direction. I don't always need to be better right away, right? We just need to know that we're going in the right direction, that the body is healing. And that's the main thing to remind people of. As I said, give them the logistics. If you're going to have classes, if you're going to go Facebook Live, if you're going to have a Facebook group, if you're going to send them daily emails, let them know what they can expect. And then let them know how you're going to conclude. Either you conclude with a final call or you conclude with a final gathering, a communal meal together, something like that. Give them something to hope for. Give them a sense that there's going to be a celebration, a congratulations at the end. Okay, so that's how I always start. I start with a call to explain and to describe. Now, as I said, on Saturday, they've got their booklet. So they're going to be able to read as well about Ayurveda. And that's why in these booklets, I like to give them, in the call, I speak it, but I also like to give that to them here. Why are we doing this cleanse? So first, what is Ayurveda? Bearing in mind that most people, some people will know, it's okay, they like to learn. And a lot of people will know nothing about Ayurveda or they know very little about Ayurveda. So we also want to clean up any misconceptions. Most important thing I like to remind people about Ayurveda is that it is nature. You are nature. Nature loves you. This is safe. This is beneficial. There's no room here for negative self-talk. There's no room here for grading or self-testing or self-judgment. We're not there to do this. This is about really supporting you as much as we possibly can. Also, you don't need to learn Ayurveda in this course. I always like to say to people, in this cleanse, I'm just sharing this information with you, I always like to say, in case you're interested, in case you want to know why we're doing this and why we're doing it this way. You know, when I first started doing cleanses, people didn't know that much about Ayurveda. So I had a lot of people asking me questions based on things that they had heard. They thought this was going to be a cleanse where they would have 5 days of just drinking green juice. Or what about meat? I can't go a day without meat. What am I going to do about that? What about coffee? I mean, it's really great to have the Q&A there because you can address some of those issues. People are more familiar with Ayurveda now. So now I find when I do cleanses, there's fewer of those kinds of questions. Still, I think it's wonderful to be able to address that. Why are we not just doing a juice cleanse? Why are we not just fasting? Hey, you said we're not fasting, but now you're calling Khichdi mono fast, you know, that kind of thing. When I do tell people about the cleanse that's coming up, I also am really careful and clear and echoing. I want to really make sure that people hear that this is not a starvation week, a starvation diet. This is not about taking, you could say, food away from you. This is about a nourishing cleanse. This is so nourishing and nurturing. I also, in my cleanses, when I run them, I like to include some self-care. So I like to teach them about Abhyanga above all, but also tongue scraping. Also to check their eyes and their tongue each day to see how they're doing. And you could even ask them to check their mala, their bowel movement, to make sure they're doing okay on that. I like to ask them to keep those things in mind and to send me an email if they have any concerns. certain things, I'm going to just say these things up front, certain issues that have come up in cleanses I've done is bowel movement. For some people, they're really changing the pH balance of the microbiome, and that can delay a bowel movement for a day or two. If it's 3 days, I'm going to start to be concerned. And then I'm going to have them, depending on their dosha, first of all, I'd say skip the next meal, just have hot broth with some ginger. In the morning, they could take some aloe. Be sure they're taking Triphala. So I'd have some more oils or more bowel encouraging things. But again, one of the main things is just to not eat. And again, while the microbiome is changing, some people will go through some of these kinds of issues. Also, you know, some people may want to take a probiotic while they're going through the cleanse. That should be taken in the morning. Other people might want to add a lassi after their lunch meal. But we do eliminate dairy in these cleanses, so that lassi should be based on a non-dairy yogurt, which they can make themselves, or which they can buy, of course, which can be a rice yogurt, oat yogurt, or a nut yogurt. The other thing that comes up a lot when people do the self-care during my cleanses is, not a lot, but every now and then I get a pitta in the winter when we're using sesame oil for abhyanga. If it's a summer cleanse, I always ask people to use coconut oil. But if I have a pitta doing one of my winter cleanses or spring cleanses and we're using sesame oil, there's about once a year, I would say even less than that, maybe out of the bunch of cleanses I've ever done, I've had this happen 3 times, where the person using sesame oil writes me and says she's getting a bit of a rash or noticing some redness. And that's because sesame oil is generally, its virya is to be heating. Remember, that's the prava of sesame oil, because most oils, sweet taste, are heavy, and their virya is to be cooling. But sesame oil does have heat to it, and so pitta people can, the body, the skin can respond to that heat with redness or even rash. So I just ask them to switch up to coconut oil right off, you know, no questions asked, just switch up to coconut oil. Then that's about it. The only other thing that is more common is the fatigue. And if people are giving up coffee, they'll have headaches on the day one or day two. A number of people, as they start to detox, will feel tired, and they might even get foggy brained on day two. Some of them get it on day three. And then day three is the day I call the trickster day. And by that, I mean, day one, you're really excited to do it. It's new, it's novel. You've got this energy and this enthusiasm, this curiosity. You've got your teammates and you're really ready to go. Day two, you're still in that sense, and whatever detox symptoms you're getting, it sort of tells you that, oh, this is a good thing, right? It's sort of, somehow that's encouraging. It tells you that this is something you needed to do. By day three, the little voices in the brain that like sugar, that like salt, that like dairy, that like meat, that like alcohol, that like coffee, whatever it's, you know, they're saying, please, please, we did so well for those 2 days. Now, can we please, can we please have that thing just once? We'll just have one bite. Day three is really a tricky day. And there's just that voice in us that says, just one bite of chocolate. If you can get through day three, you're pretty much good to go. Usually day four, day five, if you're doing 7 days, day six, day seven, piece of cake. Really, once you've gotten through 3 days, you're in a rhythm, right? You're feeling good and your receptors have shifted. And that's the other thing, is it takes about 3 days to really change those receptors. So one more piece of advice or just thought is, for a person who really needs to shift their receptors, ask the doctor, check their health professional. They should check with their healthcare professional. They shouldn't put this on you, and you should have everybody sign a waiver before you do these. But if it's okay, then they could go on a veg broth, no salt veg broth, 1 day fast, just sipping vegetable broth throughout the day, and or an apple celery juice cleanse, but I'd still want them to add hot water. So I would take a cup like this, and it would be, you know, even about this much water. Let's see if you can see. Right, a little bit less. So about 1/2 to 2/3 of the apple juice, and then 1/3 boiling hot water pour it in and then sip that. So they're drinking something warm. The temperature of it is warm. But that will shift the receptors. Celery has enough salt, apple has enough sweet to satisfy without actually nurturing and strengthening those receptor cells that are looking for more sweet and more salt. Apple, celery. Plus celery is really great for reducing the viral load. They both have astringency to them, so they're tonifying. Astringent acts like little scrub brushes in the body, cleansing. A little bit of bitter in the celery, that's going to be helpful in terms of purifying. And both have, you know, pectins in the apple binds in the digestive tract, so any toxins that are already in the digestive tract can be eliminated. So apple celery as a juice is a really wonderful thing to have. You can also add apple to your breakfast in the morning, cooking it in with your oats or your grains, and you can add a lot of celery to your khichdi or your evening soups and stews. And I really do recommend that. And I'm putting together a new spring cleanse that's going to be launched in April, where I'm really, really focusing on a lot of celery, because at this point in time, we really need to address the viral load. So again, celery can be really helpful with that, but it doesn't have to be just celery juice. You can cook in celery with your meal. And a celery soup is a very delicious soup that has lots of celery and enough for your daily dose. Okay, so back to the booklet. I've given some tips on Agni. What is Agni? How you can cultivate Agni. I give tips for people to just in general think about their lifestyle and how they can align more Ayurvedically. Throw in some beautiful pictures to remember that spring is a beautiful, beautiful time of year. I, of course, put in the logistics here because I want to have everything in one place. The idea of these booklets is that everything is in one place, and then everything goes into a Facebook community, including the booklet. So, you know, gosh, I just want everybody to have a place where they can remember it. And in my emails to them, always I have the link to where they're going to find the booklet and to the Facebook group. And still, of course, there's going to be people who are texting me in the middle of the night or in the middle of the day. I'm at the store. What do I need to buy? Can you send me the recipe list? So trying to make it as simple and as accessible as possible. Even throwing in different colors in the booklet, the kind of the green, aqua green for the titles, some red. I mean, that was thought through deliberately. I wanted to create the color of spring in the titles, but I wanted to create the balancing color for a spring detox in the subtitles. And of course, that's red, reddish orange, fire to melt the freeze. I also wanted to give people a sense of what the spring bounty is, what traditional spring foods are and have been. And if you look at this list of edible wild greens, you're seeing chicory, mustard greens have a lot of pungency to them. Fenugreek is very bitter. Fiddleheads are bitter. Wild prickly lettuce is pungent and bitter. Nettles are really excellent for balancing spring allergies. Onion grass, sour grass, they have a lot of pungency to them. Dandelion greens are extremely bitter, so helpful for cleansing the body. And purslane is really interesting because I'm reading recently that it's got some antiviral properties. Purslane is something that grows wild. It grows like a weed. A lot of these spring greens grow like weeds. Chickweed grows like a weed. And it has a really lovely gumminess to it. So that's why it was called chickweed, actually. It was originally what we used, chickles. What was that gum that we used to have? That's because chickweed used to be our natural gum. Okay. So leafy greens, of course, have a lot of fiber. I just mentioned apple has a lot of fiber. We want a lot of fiber when we're doing a cleanse because we are bringing the toxins to the organs of elimination. We want to make sure they do get eliminated through the colon. The skin may also try to eliminate organs. I mean, toxins, that's also why we want to do the Abhyanga every day during a cleanse so that the lipophilic oil that you use for your Abhyanga, so that the toxins that are lipophilic, that are excreted through the skin overnight, can also be washed away by the oils. And then we have to scrape the tongue every morning because those are the three ways that the body is getting rid of waste, primarily through the colon, but secondarily through the skin, and then on the tongue, which it's throwing up in the morning. You'll see that there. So we scrape the tongue to get off that ama. And yes, that is ama that's on your tongue in the morning if the tongue has a white coating. Scrape it off. By scraping also, you're instigating, you're stimulating digestion, you're stimulating metabolism. So it's better than coffee. Scraping your tongue takes away some of the ama, stimulates digestion. Okay. So dark leafy greens, basically you're getting the gist of what's behind this cleanse. We want high fiber. We want dark leafy greens. Why? It's the bitter taste. And bitter is very, very purifying. A lot of the language here, I've tried to give it a Western understanding, a Western perspective, because that's what people are more used to. They're more used to the word chlorophyll than bitter. They don't necessarily know what bitter means the way you do, okay? And of course, we need warming spices because we need the energy, the virya of heat to melt the winter freeze. Beans have a lot of protein, so they're a good vegetable, plant-based protein. I want to keep people's protein up. We want to keep people strong. We're not trying to debilitate anybody. But at the same time, we want to keep it, not number one, plant-based, and number two, high in fiber. And beans are really, really high in fiber. And number three, they're a prebiotic that the probiotics can feed on. So they're really, really excellent for the microbiome. And then we reduce fats in this diet. So we're reducing, there's no cheese, there's no dairy, there's certainly no junk fats, there's no trans fats. We really do reduce fats, except for ghee. Of course, if somebody's vegan, you can offer them to use coconut oil. They can use olive oil, except not for cooking. It's not a high fat oil, so or not a high heat oil. So olive oil is only used if you want to drizzle it on soup once it's been put into the bowl, or if you want to drizzle it on a salad if you're having it alongside your cooked food. Spring is not an optimal time to be eating a salad as a singular meal. Summer is fine for that, but not spring. Salad is okay on the side, especially what I do in the spring is I'll put my salad in a bowl and I'll put my hot kitchery over that so it slightly steams the greens. And then I have a very lightly cooked salad. Okay? So ghee is the one quality fat that we do use, and we mainly are using it simply for cooking. And remember, spices get absorbed, they get rehydrated, they get reactivated when they're sauteed in ghee, and then the medicine gets absorbed into the ghee being a sweet taste gets accepted and desired by all sapta dhatus, by all seven tissues, and so the ghee will drive into the deeper tissues, bringing the medicine of the spice, bringing the pungency of the spice, bringing the heat of the spice to melt any freeze and to soften any hard ama in even the deepest of the tissues, right? So ghee, spice, and then cook the food. Very essential part of a cleanse. So again, I wanted to give people an overview. Here's what your week's going to look like. For breakfast, you're going to have this. For lunch, you're going to have that. For dinner, you're going to have that, all right? And then obviously this cleanse, I started on a Saturday. Saturday was simply a prep day. And I was just giving people some ideas of how to start, how to do their prep day. And the prep day, I was asking that they can eat whatever they want, except try on that first day to avoid wheat, avoid dairy, avoid meat, avoid sugar, and avoid alcohol. So we're avoiding the heavy foods, the foods that are harder to digest. And we're avoiding the foods that put a strain on either the digestive system or the liver, part of the digestive system. Foods that can cause inflammation, foods that can cause irritable bowel syndrome, foods that can cause sluggishness, sleep disorders, and even foggy brain, right? We're trying to give our digestive system, more than anything, we're trying to give it a break without starving ourselves. So on day one as well, I recommend they start the CCFT. CCFT, coriander, cumin, fennel, is detoxifying. It stimulates metabolic fires. So the first thing that they do is they on their prep day, on the day where they're getting everything ready, they simply eliminate the heavy foods, they eliminate the no-go foods, and they start the CCFT. So they're beginning to rev up. They're beginning to ignite their Agni. And then on Sunday, they're ready to really eat the sattvic foods. Okay, so again, you can read this yourself, but I just wanted to show you that I wanted to really give people many different ways of seeing this, many different ways of outlining this, many different ways of laying it out for them. Here, I'm very careful to say to people that these are options. Some people love the stewed apples. Some people it's not enough to eat, right? Some people might need to eat more. When I address this though, I want to address it as options that they can try. And oftentimes what I find is people will try everything and then land on what they like best and then continue on with that. But what I did try to do here is balance out the micro macro nutrients across the day and then across the week. And I also tried to make it easy in terms of, you can see breakfast is stewed apples, snack is stewed apples. I just thought, well, if they're making stewed apples, make twice as much and then take some of it with you to work, right? So that you're not having to do two separate things. Just use what you've got. I wanted to make this as easy as possible so that people don't have to take too much time in the kitchen. Then I also want to give you this. Tapioca is very kapha reducing. This is a kapha time of year, and that's the main thing that we're teaching people. This is kapha season. Spring is kapha season. We're just coming out of winter, which is late winter is kapha. So we've gone from vata to kapha, and then we are moving kapha into pitta later this spring and early summer. And so we want to reduce the heavy. Kapha is what? It's heavy, wet, and cold. So we want our foods to be light, drying, and warm, especially. Tapioca is light, drying, and warm. Well, it's not warm, but this meal is warm because we cook it warm and we add spices. And apricots, it's dried apricots. Sadly, apricots aren't in season yet. They don't come into season until very late spring. Still, they're considered a spring fruit, and they're very, very good for this time of year. So like chia pudding would be excellent for pitta. Tapioca, apricot tapioca is excellent for kapha. Breakfast barley is good for kapha because barley is a good drying grain, good for pitta. And it's okay for vata. But buckwheat porridge, or if you've got a real vata person, they could have, say, stewed apples and oatmeal. Oatmeal is the best grain for vata because it helps to increase the mucous membranes in the digestive tract, making it more slisha. Slushika. Kapha is something that means that slush, you know, it really is what it sounds like. It creates more flow through the digestive tract. So a vata person could have, of course, stewed apples and oatmeal. Khichdi is also a really great breakfast. So if somebody wants to just make a big pot of khichdi, they could just do that. And they can have khichdi for breakfast and khichdi for lunch. And then they can come home for dinner and they can add a cup or two of vegetable broth to what's left of their khichdi and make it into a puree or just a very soupy khichdi. They can add some fresh vegetables if they want to. They can just do one pot for the whole day. And to me, that's the easiest thing to do. And I think khichdi for breakfast is delicious. They can make the breakfast version of their khichdi also very, very soupy. Because that's the important thing that people understand, is that it doesn't have to be day one has to be these exact things and day two has to be these exact things. I wanted to give them variety because I want people to have choice. Some people love to go in the kitchen and cook up a storm. Some people have that kind of time and they have that kind of creativity and that kind of desire. Some people are working moms, single dads. I mean, they're just busy and they're only going to have time to do the minimum. So if they can only do the minimum right there in the middle, they've got their khichdi recipes and that's it. Khichdi is a macro, micro nutrient dense meal, especially if it's cooked with vegetables. And I like to add celery and carrot up front. And then towards the end, I'll add broccolini, spinach, dandelion, you know, whatever is fresh, whatever is in the market, whatever is coming straight from the farms. I make my khichdi full of vegetables. Another thing that's really great is to just cook up the dal. If you don't want rice, skip the rice. If you want a balancing grain, but you want something light and a really low glycemic, it could be quinoa or buckwheat. Both of them technically not a grain, but actually a seed. Buckwheat is a beautiful flower. And so those would be non-rice grains, non-heavy grains. And certainly there's no harm in going with something like dal and greens, beans and greens. Or I like to turn broccoli or broccolini into a kind of emerald rice, I call it. Or cauliflower, you can make a cauliflower rice and make your khichdi with that. So of course you can give people that option, you can have that option yourself. Here's the layout. And again, it's designed to have an intelligence for the day and across the week, in the sense that across the day, you're going to be getting the macro, micro nutrients you need, the warmth appropriate, the heaviness appropriate. You know what I'm saying? It's lighter for breakfast, heaviest meals lunch, biggest meals lunch. Lightest is at dinner. Snack is not meant to be an after dinner snack. That's not why that's over there. The snack is just meant to be when you need a snack, whether it's between breakfast and lunch or between lunch and dinner, if you need a snack. That's what you might consider on those days. People will often ask me about dates. Isn't that too sweet? Yeah, it's too sweet. Skip dates. You don't have to have dates. If you're going to have a sweet tooth, I put it there on day three because day three is often the day where the trickster's coming in and saying, can't we just have a piece of chocolate or a half a glass of wine or whatever it is? And that's a good time to have a date. So that's why I put it in there. It's just sort of a reward for that part of your brain that is trying to get you to, like, you know, come with me to the other side, right? So just give it a date and it'll probably settle down. It's a bit like giving my puppy a little bit of a treat now and then, gets her to go along with me and what I'm wanting her to do, what I'm wanting us to do as a team, right? So the intelligence is there. The snacks, again, only if you need a snack. For a lot of people, they're eating foods. It may be the same quantity, but it's a lot lighter and easier to digest. So especially those people with pitta digestion, they may be finding themselves hungry before it's time for the next meal. So let them know that these are foods that are easy to digest. It's on purpose. If they can make it to the next meal and just allow those hunger pains, they are doing great. But if they don't feel they can, we're not trying to starve them. Be prepared by having some hummus on hand or some stewed apples left over from breakfast. Can be some seasonal fruit. Pumpkin seeds is a really excellent thing to have around. Pumpkin seeds are full of the minerals that are really, really helpful in detoxification. Pumpkin seeds have a lot of potassium, a good amount of magnesium, and those will really encourage cellular detoxification. On that note, as part of self-care, Epsom salt baths at night are really, really important part, an important part of a detoxification. Epsom salts, again, magnesium is really, really helpful in cellular detoxification. I'm thinking of just in communicating to the cells, it's okay to open up and release. You don't have to hang on to that thing anymore. Let it go and then wash it clean. Epsom salt baths are also really great because deep sleep is so essential to a cleanse. Okay, so pumpkin seeds, if they don't want anything else as a snack, it could be just pumpkin seeds. Again, they don't have to have a lot of things. Integration days, it's important that we come out of the cleanse thoughtfully, and that we help the body to rebuild in a healthy way. So I always offer them recipes for their what I call integration days and invite them to consider and plan ahead for those integration days. It's not that, okay, we started it on Sunday, 7 days later is a Saturday, so Saturday night I'm going to go out, or Sunday I'm going to go out and eat pizza and drink beer. It's very important that we're careful as we integrate back. And my thinking about the integration days is to really set people up to eat seasonally. So in the integration days, I'm encouraging people to go to the farmer's market and find out what's really, 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 really local and timely, and go with that. And even ask the farmers how they cook it and how they make it and what it tastes like, and try to explore and experiment. So the integration recipes that I give are a little bit less strict in terms of cleanse, but they're still very healthy, very healing, very Ayurvedic, very appropriate for the season. And then almond butter is a snack. I think almond butter on a gluten-free piece of toast for breakfast would be a great integration day breakfast, or almond butter on a khichdi pancake would be a great integration day brunch. And the reason for that is because it's good to start to get alternatives to the protein and a little bit more of the healthy fats as we are rebuilding after we've done a cleanse. Also, something that I don't have in the cleanses, because I'm not trying to get people to spend too much money, but one thing that's often recommended after a cleanse is Chaivan Prash, which is a multi-herb formula in ghee, in honey, in jaggery. Very pungent, very astringent, but set in a base of these really sweet tastes. I used to make a rejuve jam, and so I used to give that to people at the end of the cleanse. The problem I have with sending people out to get Chaivan Prash is it can be a lot of expensive. Usually you can only get it in quite large bottles. Usually people don't like it. That's why I made a rejuve jam that would be more of a tasty alternative. And it had a lot of the same herbs in it, but it didn't have jaggery, it didn't have sugar, it didn't have denatured honey, Right. And so I was able to make something that was healthy. Rose petal jam from Maharishi Ayurveda is also a nice rejuvenative jam. You can make your own jam. You can just simply throw some of the seasonal fruits into a blender with some psyllium fiber and your favorite spice, cinnamon, ginger, or cardamom, or clove, and blend it up. You can even add just a teeny bit of boiling hot water if you like to that. And the psyllium will bind it. You have a jam. You can do that with a ground flaxseed as well. And then you'll have a nice fiber-rich jam as well. You haven't had to add any sugar. If you want to, you can add a bit of honey as long as you add that before, either after the hot water, after it's cooled, or without adding any hot water at all, right? Remember not to eat the honey. Okay, lots here for you guys to think about. And then I do add these modifications for the dosha. I encourage people to take a dosha quiz. But I also want to remind you, and you can remind your students and cleanse mates, that this is not an Ayurvedic session, that you're not doing this with them in order to help them determine their dosha. You're not diagnosing their state of Agni, their Vikriti. You're just helping with a general cleanse. So get a waiver. Make sure everybody understands that you're not trying to fix them, heal them, repair them, that you're just inviting them to join you in a communal cleanse that's there to help motivate everybody to stick to it, and that's there to help reset the Agni and realign them with seasonal foods and to excite them for what's coming in terms of spring bounty, but also to excite them with delicious Ayurvedic recipes. Make that very, very clear. And then you can give them the modifications for the dosha. And if they have lots and lots of questions about the dosha, you can point them to books. You can point them to online resources. You can even suggest that they see an Ayurvedic practitioner if they think they need it. If someone's coming to this cleanse because they have serious illness, please invite them to see an Ayurvedic practitioner. Okay, and not to think that that's what you're here doing, because it isn't what you're here doing. And you don't need to. And people will get a lot of benefit just from doing this cleanse with you. But they should, if they have any concerns, they should see their health practitioner first. Why these cleanse modifications? In the springtime, we're trying to really increase the heat. Now, I'm not in this cleanse adding really, really, not, there's no peppers. It's really not that heating in the sense of being too overwhelming. But for Vata, it's just to keep in mind that some of the spices, maybe a lot, they can reduce and they don't have to go full on with the spice. It doesn't have to be too spicy. And then I mentioned black pepper, particularly because it's very drying. So we don't want them to have too much of that drying pepper. And of course, the CCFT, they should be sipping throughout the day. They should have it in a thermos. And they want to keep warm and they want to keep hydrated. Very, very important for them. Ginger tea is Vata's best friend. Ginger with their meals, Vata's best friend. Pitta, of course, they can keep the cumin in, actually. It's just that cumin is very slightly heating. Mostly it's considered tridoshic. It is slightly heating. And ginger is pretty heating. If they think they are okay with the ginger, it's just that there's more spice in the food, so they may not need the ginger tea with their meal. And then in that case, they should drink mint tea. And then, of course, the kapha can really go for it, basically. Just they can add more spice and they should sip ginger tea all day long as well. Very important for the vatas and the kaphas to keep sipping that warm water, the warm spice water all through the day. And pitta too, although they can have it closer to room temperature. Of course, there's a grocery list. And I always say to people, please look at the recipes that you intend to make and make sure that they are on the grocery list. Because I am as prone as anyone to overlooking things. I've checked and rechecked these grocery lists. I hope that everything's there. Mainly what I'm suggesting, there's some basic, you could say dry goods or packaged goods, barley, quinoa, the grains, those are essential. We want to make sure they have the spices. We want to make sure they have the seeds, and we want to make sure that they have vegetable broth. I think it's ideal if people can make a big pot of vegetable broth themselves. It'll store for the entire week. Vegetable broth, there's nothing like making your own homemade vegetable broth in terms of flavor, but also, of course, in terms of all those polyphenols, flavonoids, really, really fresh, rainbow of color and rainbow of nutrients. But if they can't, I recommend, you know, Pacific is a good, Pacific Arcadia. They make good low sodium organic veg broth. And then kombu, if they can't find it, they don't have to get it, but it's nice to have kombu cooked in with the khichdi, not just because kombu is supposed to help with reducing the carminative effects. It helps to reduce, helps to improve digestion when we're eating beans. Mung is so light and easy to digest, it's not as necessary. The other reason I, though, like to add kombu is because it's so good to have those sea minerals and those, you know, the sea vegetables, okay? So that's that. And then you've got your recipes. And starting with the teas, and the tea alternative is mint fennel is 4 pitta, okay? Then the ginger matchsticks that, as you know, is really good for, as an appetizer, it's good for igniting appetite. It's not necessary probably for pitta. It's excellent for vata. And then for kapha, we've got the addition of the black pepper. Detox masala is a spring spice blend, which can be made into a tea, and it can also be used for cooking. Okay, showing people how to make ghee, showing people how to make the basics. Pumpkin seed milk, why? Seeds are astringent. So of all the milks that we can make, this will be the lightest. This is, has a drying effect. If you're a pitta person, you can stick with an almond. If you're a vata person, you can stick with almond milk or oat milk. Or if you want to make the pumpkin seed milk, you might add a little bit of coconut oil or ghee as you're blending it, or blend it all together once it's been drained or strained, just to give it a little bit more of that, oiliness. And then also, especially if you're vata, add cinnamon or cardamom to it. Okay. And then, you know, people don't have to get triphala, but triphala is very good. If they're going to have triphala, one tablet depends on, there's a company called Planet Ayurveda that makes tablets, huge horse pills that are 1,000 milligrams each. But if you buy it from Banyan Botanical or other places, for the most part, the tablets are 500 milligrams each. So I always like to have people start with 500 milligrams on their first night, their second night, and then on their third night, they can go to 2 tablets at 1,000 milligrams in the evening with warm water before bed. If you're somebody who doesn't like to have any liquids before bed, do it 2 hours before bed. That's okay. The idea is that you're having it before bed, not necessarily the minute before bed, but somewhere before you go to bed within 2 hours. Okay, cilantro pesto. I did a big write-up on my blog on that if you want to read more about it. Cilantro is very, very detoxifying, very pitta-reducing, very cooling. It's a good coolant for the pitta, but it's really excellent as well for kapha too. Parsley is really excellent for kapha. These are two greens that I think should be thrown on every dish in a spring cleanse. Everybody should get cilantro. Why? Cilantro has been shown to help detoxify heavy metals and to bring it to the digestive tract. But of course, we need to be able to make sure that comes out. That's why also to follow a cilantro pesto with an apple later that day, or stewed apples the next morning. You want to make sure, or anything with flax seeds or psyllium, anything that's going to really help bind those toxins and pull them out of the digestive tract is essential. That's why you've got cilantro pesto, and below that, the apple cleanse. Okay. Lemon water. I like to recommend people start their day with lemon water. People have asked me in the past, what about my teeth? Is it going to be bad for my teeth? Well, I'm not a big one for plastic, but if you have maybe a metal straw, you can sip your lemon water through the metal straw. You can also skip it. Okay. But for most people, they will enjoy the lemon water. It's a nice thing to wake up to. It's a sour. Lemon is a sour. Citrus tastes sour, tastes acidic. Alkalining effect on the body. Okay. And then these are also some of the basics. And anything with cilantro is very, very, very cleansing. So you can see that it's got the ginger for the agni. It's got the apple for the binding, the pectin. It's got the cilantro. Basil is also really excellent as a pungent. Garlic, of course, is a powerful pungent. Garlic is antibacterial, antiviral, antimicrobial. Garlic is not recommended in the traditional Ayurvedic shastras, in the scripture. Garlic is said to be too tamasic, too rajasic. I make an exception in the spring for that, and I would make an exception now with coronavirus. most doctors I know, including Ayurvedic doctors, are saying right now, our bodies need the help that garlic can give us. And so a little bit, I know I'm cooking with garlic nowadays in my kitchery, very little bit, but I am cooking with it. Of course, cooking sweetens it and brings it a little bit more into the direction of sattva. Garlic is really, really important right now and powerful. It's very, very excellent for if you have an onset of colds, if you have even a sore throat, garlic in the back of the throat, the juices will go down your throat and they'll kill the bacteria. Of course, for vata, raw garlic is going to be strong and overwhelming, so reduce the amount of garlic. For pitta, it can be too heating. Again, they can reduce the amount and they can add mint to that one. Okay, so chickpeas, of course, are excellent for kapha. Super seed crackers to have with your hummus. This is a very, very delicious cracker. Mostly seeds again, so it's mostly astringent, really good for fiber. And I just want to say about this, that people rave about it. It takes a little bit of time to make, but not that much, because you just sort of throw everything into a bowl. It comes together really quickly. That part of it doesn't take much time. You have to prepare yourself because you've got to make your flax, egg, and that kind of thing first. What takes the time is how much time it's going to sit in your oven. But you can be doing a million other things. You can be cleaning your house. You can be petting your dog. You can be working. You can be studying. Because it does have to sit on a very, very, very low heat, the lowest your oven will give you, for a long, long time, because basically you're dehydrating them. But if you look closely at the picture, you're also very slightly roasting your seeds, which is what gives them their flavor. And then you've got a really great cracker to have with your soups and your stews, your hummus, your pestos, your chutneys, etc. This in itself could be a meal. You could take the cilantro pesto super seed crackers to work, and that could be a meal for some of you who don't have time to cook. And then detox tabbouleh was my way of getting the parsley and the cilantro into people. So just some different ways of making some fun recipes. Everything else I think is self-explanatory. It's basically here just the recipes that go along with the things that we had talked about earlier in terms of the layout and the plans. So again, thinking about the kinds of foods that are being used, These are the integration recipes. So I've also given them some more easy things to do. Just steam some vegetables. Just make a vegetable puree. I wanted people to be able to just come home from work and not have to think too much about what they're doing. So I've given them up here. I also give them in my cleanse ideas in case they have to go out to eat. The best restaurants are Japanese, Thai, anything Asian, or even Indian, as long as they know that the Indian food's made fresh and not from a bunch of frozen vegetables. Avoid the meat, avoid the milk, avoid those heavier foods. Thai is great. You can get yourself a curry. You can even skip the rice if you want to. You can get a vegetable curry, a tofu curry. Japanese, of course, is great, especially if it's cooked foods and you're avoiding your meats. Japanese is excellent. A lot of Asian foods are excellent because they avoid wheat, they avoid dairy, they avoid heavy. And so you can get some alternatives there. Pho or pho is a good soup. And again, most Asian soups are going to be really excellent. Vietnamese is going to be good for this cleanse. So there's a lot of options. I even went to a Middle Eastern restaurant. I think the man was Israeli, Lebanese, Palestinian. He was kind of a mix of things. Mother's Jewish, father's Muslim. He brings together all of these families from this long-standing Palestinian leadership, all these different things. And somebody lived in Brazil and he's got all these, this mix of culture in him, and he has a restaurant. And his buffet, very Middle Eastern food, really also, I was looking at thinking some of this would be excellent for a cleanse. Again, staying away from the meats and the chickens, but the hummus, the dal, I looked at that and I thought, well, a lot of these foods look like khichdi and look like what we'd have in an Ayurvedic clinic, in an Ayurvedic treatment center. So those are the recommendations you can make to people who have to go out to eat. Then the integration recipes. Again, this is now we're going to start to get back to some heavier foods. We're going to start possibly introducing the foods that have been eliminated. But slowly, slowly, and it's really important here with the integration recipes, I always say to people, take 3 days, integrate things one at a time, and take 3 days before you integrate the next thing. So if you are somebody who loves cheese or you like milk with your tea or your coffee. Please, even if it's just milk in your chai one morning, wait 3 whole days before you do anything else, because it could be after 2.5 days that you get a skin disorder, a rash or something. And then you will know it was that. If you've introduced the wheat on day 2, you don't know now if it's the wheat or the milk. So it's very important that you wait 3 days to see what kind of signs may appear. If you get the all clear, okay, you're all clear on that food. So also reintroducing slowly, because you've given your Agni a break. Now it's Sama Agni, hopefully. Still, we don't want to overwhelm it with too many heavy foods or hard to digest foods, or foods that your own particular Agni may not particularly love. The nice thing about doing a cleanse is that it gives us a chance to really notice what our body likes and doesn't like. After we've been eating the same food for long periods of time, the body stops giving us its signals or its messages, just sort of gives up. But after a cleanse, the body is very light, very sattvic, and we have a better sense of what's working and what's not. So integration is a really, really important part of this cleanse. The key part of integration is integrating things one at a time, 3 days in between. And then, as I said, a little bit heavier foods, but mostly what we're doing here is setting them up to eat seasonally. I love celery root, and I used to love that very much when I lived in France. So celery root is just a fabulous way to eat spring vegetables and to get those astringents and some bitters. Creamy beans and greens. So again, it's beans and greens, but now we're adding a little bit more weight and heft and nutrition. We're rebuilding the tissue now after having detoxified and purified. Roots, of course, not exactly the most kapha because they're heavier, but they're still vegetables. And once we roast them and once we add some spice to them, we're making them better, lighter and more appropriate for actually all the doshas. I don't really add sprouts too much in the cleanse. You can, of course, add sprouts to your khichdi or your soups or things during the cleanse. Sprouts by themselves are very cold and somewhat harder to digest, but they're great to go with foods. They've got they're very high energy food. And sprout, especially mung bean sprouts or radish sprouts or some of these beautiful spring green sprouts are so excellent in the springtime, very giving us new energy. So because it's new energy, it's a good place to put it into the integration. You make a whole salad just on sprouts, but you can add your sprouts to any salad that you might make. Okay, so you can see here, there's a whole lot of different recipes here, but it's not just to fill them out for the entire spring. I'm just trying to give them some ideas and some deliciousness to look forward to. Spring, I highly recommend that we recommend to people to get fresh peas. You can eat fresh peas right out of the pod. They don't need to be cooked. It's the one time of year we don't have to cook peas. And they are so, so, so delicious. So you can make a khichdi out of peas. You can cook up some cauliflower rice and throw them into a bowl with some very fresh peas, and add some mint, and you've got a terrific lunch or dinner, completely plant-based. So these are more links. These are links to actually my food blog for more spring integration recipes. I hope that's clear, what the spring cleanse intelligence or thinking was, what the strategy was, the purpose, the integration of the different wisdom of Ayurveda that is there. So you're seeing in that booklet the ojas, you know, the end product of the digestion of all of my studies and research and all of the studies that went before and all the great teachers, right? And it's the end, it's one end product from the delicious nutrition and nutrients that I've been so fortunate to absorb over these years. And, you know, over the years, I also updated those booklets and added things in based on the questions and the feedback that I got from the students. So I really, really hope that you'll consider offering a spring cleanse. And even as soon as April, you know, this spring, why not? And of course, if you want to join my spring cleanse and bring in even some of your students to that spring cleanse, certainly you can do that. And I'd be happy to share that with you in a profitable way if you'd like to do that as well. I want to make sure that you are supported financially as well as nutritionally, because I know that if you're supported, you're going to go on and do great things. And I know that the world needs your heart and your love and your wisdom. And so whatever we can do to build the ojas of your life, as well as your physical, you know, health, then I would like to do that. So I'm going to the summer cleanse now. And this is a link where I've got a video that explains it. This time instead of, I did do a call, but I had a sort of, this is what I called a welcome video. This was a landing page that people would get as soon as they had paid for the cleanse. So right away they had something they could read, something that they could use to learn about it. But this is the integration or the summer cleanse booklet. Obviously it's got a different look to it, giving people an idea of these cooling foods and a very cooling picture with that big blue sky and the summer greens. So again, looking, starting the booklet with visuals that are enticing and some explanation about Ayurveda and what a cleanse in the summer might look like. And, you know, cleanse in the summer is really, really about aligning with summer foods. This is really a reset as much as anything. A lot of people love to join me for the summer cleanse. And I get a lot of people asking me in the beginning of summer, am I doing a cleanse this summer? And I don't know if that's because the pitta feels they need a cleanse and they're on it. You know, they're asking me and they're looking forward to it and they've got that enthusiasm. Or if people have more time in the summer, I'm not really sure what's behind that, but I get a lot of people asking, probably more than any other season. The thing about the summer cleanse is if we eat what the season provides, then the body will naturally take care of itself and it will cleanse if it needs to cleanse. And that's so true in the summer when the foods are so light and so, so sattvic. So a summer cleanse, really, I really think of it as less of a cleanse, which is really what the spring reset is about. I would say that the one that is truly a cleanse is the spring one. The other seasons are really about aligning with the seasonal bounty, because those are the foods that are going to set us up for the best health. And if the body needs to cleanse, it will naturally do that if we give it this help. Hope that makes sense. So again, more information about the six tastes that are good for the summer season and what particular foods are going to be really especially good. Lime, mint, fennel, cilantro, of course, you know, so cooling, coconut water, a little bit of Himalayan salt. Why? Because in the summer, we tend to perspire. Perspiration is considered to be like blood. And so we're losing the properties of blood, we're losing some of what gives us that rasa. We need to replace it. And we need to replace the salts, the minerals, the hydration, the sweetness even. Coconut water is very much like the blood. And so it's an excellent hydration in the summertime. And if you don't want to just drink the coconut water straight from the bottle or the can, you can dilute it, equal parts water, coconut. One of the things that is important to remember for people in the summer is that pitta, summer is pitta season, right? And pitta people, pitta dosha, pitta prakriti is considered to have a strong agni. It's naturally got a strong agni. But summer, even though it's pitta, where there's a lot of heat, a lot of fire, and a lot of moisture, or even perspiration ourselves, there is less Agni. The Agni is not as strong in us in the summertime. Why is that? It's the one thing that doesn't match. It is Pitta season, but in the Pitta season, in order to cool down, the way the body regulates temperature in the body is that it sends the heat from the core to the periphery. Just like in the winter, the heat is sent to the center. So from the periphery to the center to keep us warm. It's like we gather around that central fire. And a lot of times you'll see that people who live in regions of the world that are cold or tend to be cold for longer, those people tend to be more pitta and they tend to have a strong digestive fire, right? And if you go to the tropics or you go to the area of the world, you know, that's more in the center, you'll see places that where it's a lot hotter, especially where it's hot and moist, you'll see that maybe the digestive system isn't as strong. And so they add a lot of spice to their food. And that's true of South India. That's true of Mexico. That's true of a lot of these places where they are, the heat of the body is going to the peripheries and they need a little extra heat, a little extra spice, or a little extra help in terms of their food and their digestion. So in the summer, one of the key things is that the food has to be very sattvic. We don't have to cook our meals. Nobody wants to cook at the end of a really hot day, but we need to make sure that it is digestible, that it's easy to digest. It's not overheating, it's not overwhelming, primarily that we're adding some digestive spice, but cooling digestive spices, the prabhav spices, like fennel. Fennel is ideal because it's very strengthening to digestion, really feeds the digestive fire, but it's got a cooling virya. Coriander is neutral in terms of its virya, so also really good. It's the seed of cilantro, so it makes sense. Cardamom is slightly heating, but it's cooling. In the sense that it's hydrating. And so it's okay for pitta in moderation. It's heating, cooling. It's a little bit heating when it needs to be, but it's got that watery, hydrating nature that's actually balancing for pitta. And then, of course, the herbs of mint and parsley are cooling. And they, not so much parsley, but mint is a good digestive. Parsley is good for purifying. As you can see, more information about it all. And then laying it out. This time of year, it's okay to soak and sprout. It makes the foods lighter, it makes the grains lighter, it makes the seeds lighter, it makes the beans lighter. And I even have a recipe in here for a sprouted mung bean salad, which is pretty delicious and very fresh. So as you can see, it's fresh, it's alternated with some raw. Given some ideas for aloe, which is very cooling, very healing to the digestive tract. I'm not actually asking people to go ahead and buy supplements, but I'm suggesting if they do, ask your healthcare provider if you feel you'll need a multi-B vitamin. Also, I recommend milk thistle extract if people want, just because it's so good for cleansing the liver. Liver is the pitta organ, so summer is a great time for clearing out the pitta, right? So pitta, a summer cleanse, a summer reset is a pitta balancing cleanse or a pitta balancing reset. And what do we want to do there is we want to reduce any heat in the blood or in the liver. So milk thistle can help with that, just as amla or amalaki. So simply if they take triphala, that will also work. And then these are the recipes. So again, starting with the call and going through why these recipes, you know, breakfast chia pudding, they can sit, leave it out overnight. Have it in the morning, either at room temperature, take it with them on the go. Ideally, what I prefer is that in the morning, they add a quarter cup of boiling water. So they bring it up in terms of the temperature. But the nice thing about these meals, these summer cleanse meals, is that they aren't going to cause too much heat. You don't have to turn an oven on. You don't have to be slaving over a hot stove for these. Sprouted khichdi is so completely delicious. Quinoa, mung beans, so very, very light. Pistachios to give some balance, some grounding. Pistachios are vata reducing mostly, and even some kale. Now, red pepper is a nightshade, and so personally, I would keep that out. I put it in there originally because I wanted some color, but the more I think about it, the more I think, I should have left that out. So, you know, tell people that. Let them know. They can skip that. What makes this so delicious is all those fresh mints. And one thing that I like to recommend to people in the summer is to gather up the fresh herbs that are growing in your garden or get a lot from the farmer's market. And you can throw handfuls of mint into your summer dishes. You can throw mint in with your breakfast. It's delicious. You can throw dill in with your khichdi. It's delicious. You can throw... You can make your salads out of fresh herbs and sprouts. Completely, absolutely delicious. Have I said delicious enough? Fun to eat flowers in the summer, etc. Now, in the summer with our dressing, we want it to be a little cooler and a little bit, you know, creamier. We still want it to have something that's going to help us with the digestive fire. So we do have some coconut vinegar. You can use apple cider vinegar, especially if you're vata or kapha. But coconut vinegar is a sour, but it's a little bit more on the cooling side as a sour. And then lime juice, of course, instead of lemon juice. Why? Because lime is more bitter, and so it has a little bit more of the cooling, even though it's still a sour and it's citrus. Lime peel is very bitter and very excellent. So you can shave lime, the lime peel, grate it a little bit, add it to your summer dressing, add it to your salads, add it to your kitchen, add it to your water, for goodness sake. Lime peel is a really excellent thing to have lots of in the summer. Okay, cilantro water as well. This is one of the most popular of the meals, arugula, pistachio, pesto salad. So easy to make, so easy to pack up and take to work. So hearty and delicious. Okay, and I love these. Wrapped up in a good hearty leaf and a Napa cabbage or something like that, this coconut dill dip is really delicious. And you can use that for a snack. Make your super seed crackers and have it with the coconut dill dip. Great snack, great lunch, great evening. Well, it's not really warm enough for evening. Okay, so you get the picture, right? Sweet potato puree. It's good. And then there's lots of different snacks. Sweet pea hummus is absolutely delicious. So you get the idea. Again, I've got super seed crackers. Why? Seeds are excellent for pitta. Why? Nuts are a bit oily for pitta. Pitta has that secondary water. So we want to dry things out just a little bit. Even as we're restoring hydration, we don't want, especially in a cleanse, we don't want too much fat. We want to dry things out so that we can dry up some of that excess water that comes in through the pitta time. Seeds, you know, they're also very, very delicious. And as I said earlier, they deliver the mineral content that we need, potassium, magnesium, manganese, that is really, really beneficial for a cleanse and also beneficial for the mind and the nervous system. So important. Rose fennel is one of my favorite summer teas. Very sattvic, very gentle, very cooling. Rose is one of the most cooling things we can have. And again, juices can be helpful. And people could start with a day of just juicing, as I said earlier. That will help to reset the receptors and make the rest of the meals taste delicious. A lot of people will come to these cleanses and say, oh, this food tastes terrible. Well, yeah, it tastes terrible if you've got receptors set for pizzas and beer, to use that example again. So give them a receptor reset first and encourage them to have apple, celery, papaya, something along those lines. Okay. Got a whole bunch of juices here. And on we go. Grocery list this time is at the end, and more resources, and then the integration pages. So again, same thing with integration. It's about bringing people gently out of the cleanse and into day-to-day eating, but trying to keep them in seasonal rhythms. And so this is one of my favorite summer breakfasts. One cup of coconut yogurt into a bowl with seeds, the flax, the psyllium. You could add chia, you could add sesame, you could add honey or maple syrup. And then you can add mint, you could add other, other greens, other herbs. And because it's a non-dairy yogurt, you could even add berries. You could even add nuts, because now we're in the integration phase, so it's okay to have that. So you can see as you go, there's many more different kinds of salads. This is a delicious one, taking some of the traditional recipes that have potatoes in them. Potatoes are really great in one way because they have those good minerals, but they're not so great because they're a nightshade. So I replace them with sweet potatoes. Okay, so good. I think you're getting the idea here. Let's go back to just going to see this summer cleanse. One more thing. You're welcome to share this. This is a private page. But what this also has on this page is a link to the supplies. And so people, if they want to buy yellow mung dal or green mung beans, because a lot of times it's hard to find those. In San Diego, we have a place called People's Organic Market, and they do carry dal in their bulk area. So a lot of larger healthy markets may carry in the bulk place where they also carry grains, nuts, seeds, and other beans. Or you can find them sometimes at Asian markets, mung beans. Or you can find them online. But Banyan Botanicals is the one place I know is careful about how they source, and I know that these are organic. And that's a really, of course, essential part of the cleanse. The beans have to be organic. All right, my dears? And then deep relaxation is essential. So in this this particular cleanse, I've given a different one than the yoga nidra I've given you. But this is a point of light meditation, a really beautiful meditation, taking people like a nidra in a way through the body to see these different points of light throughout the body and combining a visual of light with the number 1, 2, 3 as you go, 61 points of light, so that you're activating both the right and left brain for balance, what Maharishi calls coherence, which actually helps with deep relaxation. And that also helps with cleansing the subtle body or cleansing the subtle mind, the subconscious, and cleansing our emotional wounds, pains, whatever we may have stored over the years. I even, of course, in here included a gentle yoga practice because it's better during a cleanse that we're gentle. You can recommend that people during their cleanses go for a slow bike ride, they go for walks, they do some gentle yoga, they might have a swim. Whatever their favorite activity is, it's important that they circulate, it's important that they move, but it's important that they're not doing too strenuous of an activity just because the body is trying to cleanse itself and that in itself is strenuous on the body. All right, ready for the autumn cleanse? You can see that now as we're getting used to the principles behind them, you can see that these are, it's going more quickly. So now it doesn't have to be October, it can be late September. I often will correspond my autumn cleanse with the Navratri. And the Navratri, Nav means nine, and Ratri is the root of our word rhythm or ritual. Navratri is 9 days. It's also, Navratri is the source, the root of the novenas in the Catholic Church. They have these 9 days of prayer. Navratri is 9 days of worship of the Divine Mother. And this happens in the spring and it happens in the autumn. It's basically, as my friend likes to say, all holidays in India relate to Ayurveda. It's basically marking spring and spring bounty and autumn harvest. And these 9 days are dedicated to the Divine Mother as Durga and in her forms as Kali, Lakshmi, Saraswati. So 3 days for each, Kali, Lakshmi, Saraswati in that order. And then the 10th day is a day that's dedicated to Ram. And in that sense, it means Ram means preservation. Ram is said to be the principle of preservation, conservation, sustenance, healing, generation, regeneration. Ram, as a god or as a cosmic force, came to life supposedly as Dhanvantari, who's said to be the god of Ayurveda. So that 10th day is dedicated to the restoration of wholeness and the restoration of nature. But it's thanks to the Divine Mother in her force as Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, Mahasaraswati, that the world is restored. And it's basically a marking of these transitional times. We talked about Sandhi before. It's this time when the Sandhis are precarious, where we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable at the time of the solstice. Bear in mind, the solstice is when the day and the night are equal in measure, in energy. The day and the night are equal in terms of the day and the night are same time, right? The day is as short or as long as the night is. And that light and dark energy is in balance. What happens when we have balance, when we have our nervous system is in balance, our hormonal system is balanced, when the brains right, left are in balance, that cohesion, that coherence, that symmetry, that equanimity, equilibrium, that solstice internally gives healing, gives, it's basically what's necessary in order for spontaneous healing to occur, but it's also the necessary platform for transcendence to occur. So it's from coherence that the body can heal. It's from coherence the body restores wholeness, and it's from coherence that the body can rise up and know its more divine or more transcendent self. That means that at the time of solstice, there is this natural energy in nature for balance and for transcendence. It's almost like it opens a portal for us to be able to know that divine self. But it's also opening a potential for vulnerability, for us to fall in to the gap. So that's how I like to talk about or think about or set up the autumn cleanse. And that's why it's usually in October, but I'm basically doing it either right after the autumn solstice in later September, or right at the beginning of October, say the 1st to the 10th or the 1st to the 7th of October. It depends on the Navaratri, as I said. I always go along with that. It's fun to be thinking about the Divine Mother loving us, nourishing us, protecting us as we go. Now, of course, just as in the spring, we're wanting to stoke the inner fires. The difference is we're just coming out of summer and the body may be still hot. We may be still carrying heat in the form of hot temperature, hot emotions, hot agni, depletion because we've overheated, and or inflammation. So the first thing that we have to do as we go into the autumn cleanse is we have to reduce any excess pitta before we go into autumn. I mean, now look at it. We're going from the potential that we have excess pitta, and then we're autumn is basically the space between summer and winter. And so we're going into late autumn, early winter, when the body's very, very vulnerable, vulnerable to colds, vulnerable to fatigue and depletion. We have to make sure that we reduce the pitta in the body before we can then build warmth, right? And build strength. But we don't want to build strength off the pitta toxins or pitta imbalance. So it's a delicate time. That's why, again, it's a Sunday and it's an important time to do a reset. So, of course, in this time of year, we're still eating and cooking and preparing our meals seasonally, but then people will say, well, what is that food? I mean, as we start to head into the mid-autumn and later autumn, there's less food coming up straight from nature, especially if we live in the top half of the United States or the top half of the Northern Hemisphere. So this time of year, what traditional people were doing was they were gathering the food and they were drying it if it was a grain, or curing it, for instance, if it was a meat, or canning it if it was a vegetable like a tomato, or making jams if it was fruit, or they were fermenting it. They were even potatoes, sweet potatoes, drying it, putting it in a bag or under a table or into a bushel somewhere, right? And then the ferments, cabbage, which has its natural lactobacillus. These were ways, making ghee, making yogurt. These were ways of preserving food to last for the winter. And these are exactly the foods that are great for the vata season. Why? Because dried foods need to be cooked and rehydrated. And they need to be cooked with spices for flavor. And the ferments, of course, are going to increase vishana, or balance vishama agni and turn it back to sama agni. They're going to be excellent for vata dosha and vata digestion. Right, so these are the foods that are going to be excellent for vata because they require cooking, or because they are already pre-cooked, pre-digested, as we say when we talk about ferments. Curing is done with, you know, you can smoke or you can use spices to cure. So again, really excellent for vata. So the most important thing in this is to really give people an explanation as to why we're doing this in this season and what the principles are. Just as I said, we're coming out of summer, we're going into autumn. These are the things that are happening. These are the vulnerabilities. These are the risks. And what I find is a lot of people want to do a cleanse. Again, I get a lot of people writing, are you doing a cleanse? Because there's this back to school mentality. Okay, we just had summer. We had lots of fun. Play, play, play. Kids are back in school. I'm back in my rhythms. Let's go. The French have this term, la rentrée, the re-entry. And there's an energy for that. Like, we're going to begin again. We're going to come back. We're going to come back to work. We might as well come back to our daily disciplines. Or help me get reset again after my summer of playtime. I want to get back onto a healthy regime. So we want to share with people what that means for us in Ayurveda. But it isn't just, oh, let's just eat healthy. But it's really, let's eat seasonally, Ayurvedically, reducing potential for inflammation. We cannot build and have heartier meals and start spicing our meals if we have excess pitta in the body. We'll just feed the pitta. Okay? So we talk about them in the booklet about, or I wrote about Agni and how we're going to do that. But one of the things that I talk about in the opening call is things that they might begin with, like day one or even prep. They can do some of the things we did in the summer. They can have aloe. They can have cilantro. They can make a cilantro water. They can drink coconut. They can be adding a lot of mint to their foods. So just to give them a sense of what they can do before they get started with this cleanse, if they feel that they still have heat in the body. So a lot of this is similar. We're talking about why we're eliminating wheat, dairy, sugar, meat. What I like about this cleanse is I did give them a lot of the facts, like frequently asked questions in this cleanse. So the other thing is I often have people who will do every seasonal cleanse with me. So I wanted variety, not just in the recipes, which of course there will be, but variety in terms of the khichdis. We don't have to make a different khichdi each time. We could make the basic same. And what you might notice in my khichdis as we go season to season is less rice in the spring, more rice in the autumn, equal parts rice and mung in the summer. But apart from that, the variations are all based on the season. But I want people to have different things that they're able to learn. Again, not just seasonally, but also different things that they're learning, generally speaking, about the cleanses and why we're doing it. So I'm going through this. I know it's too fast to read. But you've got it printed out, or you've got it online for yourself. The fun thing about this autumn cleanse is that I wrote it while I was in Tamil Nadu in South India at an Ayurvedic center where I went and stayed for 3 weeks. And so I based it on some of the foods that we were having there. And so there's some original meals and foods, and it steps things up a bit. You know, it's Vata season, so I thought it'd be fun to be a bit more creative and to invite people now back to the hearth. Always nice to be by the fire, having a cup of tea, getting creative in the kitchen with friends this time of year. So some of these things may take a little bit longer to make. Some of these don't. They just look like it. So it's an invitation to get more playful in the kitchen. But as you can see, it's not too difficult. Amaranth chai porridge, just chai because of the spices used. Porridge is just as easy to make any season, no different. Dal, you know, they're not hard to make. These green bean soup is so delicious. Broken rice porridge, you're just taking your rice and you're breaking it with a mallet. Cooks up a lot more quickly and it's much creamier. Spinach risotto is fun. You can make that with nutritional yeast if you want something to taste more cheesy, but without using dairy. So idli is more like this picture up here. It's a really nice kind of a rice patty. Very delicious, very light and easy to digest. In India, in South India, Kerala, as well as Tamil Nadu, it's served with sambar, which is a mildly spicy tomato-based soup broth. And then it's also served with the coconut chutney, which you have a recipe for in here. So it's a bit of a soupy yumminess for breakfast. Khichdi. Squash. You may remember that I mentioned that squash is the lightest and easiest to digest vegetable. And often, and there's millions of types of squash in India, and squash is something that you'll have every day at an Ayurvedic clinic. It's very, very healing. It's got great micronutrients. It's got great minerals in it. It's very anti-inflammatory. It's excellent for pitta. It's excellent for vata. And it's actually good because it's light, so it's good for kapha too. So it's a really good tridoshic food. Okay, and then kanji on day 4. I wanted basically to introduce kanji to people because it's such a great food for the autumn and winter, and it's such a great healing meal. And I tell them a bit about kanji when I open up on my introductory call, and how it's kind of Ayurveda's chicken soup, you could say. So light and easy to digest that if you are sick with a cold, it would be it's a good thing to sip on so that you can still nourish yourself. But you know, rice has all the B vitamins except B12. And so very, very balancing to the nervous system, calm, cooling, nourishing, and easy to digest. So I'm basically giving them this layout. Again, same thing. Thinking about getting the maximum amount of macro micronutrients that's still going to be really excellent for Agni, still detoxifying, but nourishing at the same time. So nobody feels depleted or too fatigued. if people feel fatigued or they get hungry between meals, there's a lot of shifting and changing going on, and the body's working hard to detoxify. That can take a lot of energy. Also, the microbiome is shifting, Agni is shifting. It can give us a false sense of hunger or not. So we just should try very much to stick to these meals 3 times a day. But I do give them options for light, digestible, detoxifying snacks as well. Anyway, what I wanted to say is that this order, these choices here for each day, are based on getting enough variety in there so that you get all of your micro and macronutrients. But I also say to people, you can change it up. If it turns out that your favorite thing is idli, you want to have that every day for breakfast, fine. That's absolutely fine. Another great thing for breakfast is the Khichdi pancakes that are in my book. And the fun thing about that is you can share it with your kids. So I give different examples. And I'm, again, trying to give people options, ways to make this work if you don't have a whole lot of time. This first example is, just make a big pot of khichdi. I've already talked to you about that, but very simple. Okay, this one, it's to make rice and dal, have it for breakfast, have your leftovers for lunch, but now mix it up with some veggies, and then for dinner, turn it into a soup or just turn it all into kanji. Okay, breakfast can be risotto, maybe made more soupy. You can have that risotto, but now warm it up with some leafy greens for lunch. And then turn it all into a soup for dinner. And just, again, try to make one pot and make it work for each meal. And then you've got your recipes, same as before. So these are quite fun. Try to give a picture for each one so people can see what they're making and see if it looks appetizing. And these are just extras that are thrown in there in case they get bored of what they've got. Obviously, ideas for snacks. I always put pepitas in every season because they're so excellent for the fiber and the minerals. This time of year, again, it's time to really have seasonal vegetables, cook them, have them warm. It's better to have fruit. Sorry, this time of year, it's better to have seasonal fruits if you're going to have fruit at all. And it's better to have them cooked, steamed, or stewed, or even baked with some cinnamon or some spice. Okay, back to basics. I always love people to try their hand at some of these basics. We've gotten so used to cooking them, or excuse me, buying them from the store. We buy the buttermilk, we buy our broth. Who knew that you can make your own buttermilk? It doesn't take a lot of time or energy to make these things. So again, I highly encourage people to do it. After cooking kanji, you can save your excess water. And that water you can use for your soups. You can drink it warm as a tea. It's a really delicious afternoon tea. Okay, water should be hot. Okay, sip your water hot in the autumn. And grocery list, of course. And finally, in this one, I gave people a journal to write down what they're eating and when they're eating and how it's making them feel. And I love this in order to encourage more self-awareness. And then Navratri, this is a picture of Durga. Okay, so this one I didn't include integration. But I have so many integration recipes, so many autumn recipes on my blog. I would say more than anything, I have vata reducing autumn and probably winter recipes on my blog, just because most of us cook more often in that time of year. Okay, now we've just got one more cleanse. It's winter cleanse. We're almost done. This one of my favorites. I had a lot of fun creating this one with some beautiful pictures. And of course, again, the choice of colors is deliberate. I wanted it to be red without being too red. I wanted it to have a sense of intimacy that we're coming into ourselves, that we're coming into the hearth. We're going to gather around and have stews and teas and tell stories and maybe read books and all of that. So kind of holiday colors was the thinking here. And of course, again, here's the key thing about a winter cleanse. It's not the time of year for us to be dieting. It's not the time of year for us to lose weight. So how many people, New Year resolution, I'm going to lose weight? The problem is in the winter, the body is trying to hold on to weight and maybe even store some fat. And that's because the body wants the adipose tissue as an extra layer of protection. And that protection is not just protection from the cold, keeping us warm, but it's also protection from threatening bacteria and viruses. So it's a protection to our health and to our immune system. So the body wants that little bit of extra weight, a little bit of extra fat to keep us warm, but it also wants to sort of seal us in. It's all that whole idea of hibernation and internalizing. So in a winter reset, well, we can help people eat lighter. We can certainly help them purify, but mostly, again, it's about resetting. It's about coming off of the holidays and all that sugar and all that cake and maybe that drinking, and helping them to get onto a really balanced, healthy way of eating that's going to support their body, but also support them emotionally and intellectually and with their energy, and also just get them set up. Maybe they will lose some weight if they needed to, but it will certainly set them up for long-term wellness, whether that's weight loss or not. It will set them up for what their body needs. Okay, so less fat, more water. This is a time for soups and stews. This is a time for warm, spicy teas. This is the time for being warm. Same thing with offering principles first, pictures that are inviting. Better to not snack in the winter, but some ideas of what you can do. If you want a roasted cauliflower, roasted chickpeas, these are all very light and easy to digest, warm, and virya that is heating. So again, the meals, an overview of what the meals are going to be. You can see that this is more or less the same, right? It's a grain or it's fruit compote for breakfast. So it's cooked, it's gently spiced, it's the kaffir time of day. So we're eating something that's going to be warm and lightly spiced, light, not too heavy. Lunch, khichdi is always the key. If I haven't said this already, khichdi is the key part of a cleanse. If we eat nothing else, we should just eat khichdi. But I'm just trying to bring in this variety of micronutrients, the rainbow of colors from the plants, and also variety in terms of cooking, in terms of taste, in terms of meals, so that people don't get bored and they don't get depressed. Okay, so again, options laid out. You can see this is very wintry, a winter compote. Somebody could have that with super seed crackers if they want something to go with it. They can have that with a bowl of oatmeal or amaranth. It doesn't have to be just the compote. They could even have it with a piece of gluten-free toast. A healthy piece of gluten-free toast would be fine. So going forward, you're basically seeing that this is very soupy. This is very warm. This is very hydrating. It's very nourishing. This is comfort food. The winter reset is comfort food. Cashew curd, by the way, is absolutely delicious. Kind of made it by a mistake one day. Well, not really a mistake, but I made cashew milk and I had all the cashew fibers left over and I just threw a probiotic in, let it sit for a couple hours. Next thing you know, you've got cashew curd, basically an idea of a yogurt. It's not yogurt, but it's a fermented cashew cream, you could say. It's very delicious. So trying to get more of the probiotics here in the winter cleanse. If I offer this in the beginning of January, we're in that Vata, end of Vata, just about to go into the kapha season. So, but we still have some of that Vata floating around. And so we want to make sure that the digestion has, that we have some sours, that we keep digestive fire strong. Okay, so I gave people options for a 5-day plan. I'm going to have to go redo that and get everything onto that one page. Or a 3-day plan or a 1-day plan. If you just want to do 1 day, just have the compote, khichdi, miso. If you want, you can repeat that across 3 days. Or you can break it up with these varieties. Or you can break it up with further varieties for 5 days. Okay, I'm going to come back and you'll see that's reloaded. I'm going to clean that up so it all goes in one page. And then the recipes. I hope this is understandable that basically all the cleanse principles are the same. Light, easy to digest, strengthen Agni, strengthen the organs of elimination, help the body get ama, sticky toxins from the tissues and into the organs of elimination, help those organs of elimination work properly, help people get enough rest, help them reduce stress, help them get enough hydration, and and voila, and then help them eat seasonally. And that's your seasonal cleanse. I think the cleanses are delicious. Another thing to suggest to people is it doesn't have to be something you just do 5 days a season. This could be how you eat for the rest of the year. A lot of people will say, I loved it so much. It was so delicious. Can I keep eating like this? Yes, you can. Yes, you certainly can. And you can supplement it with some of the extra similar recipes that are on my blog, in my cookbook. My cookbook is basically book meals, recipes for cleansing food, cleansing and nourishing, foods that are both cleansing and nourishing at the same time. This is the key of Ayurveda. We don't just drink vegetable broth for 2 weeks straight, right? We don't just deplete. We don't just purify and cleanse. We nourish while we cleanse, and we make sure that the way we nourish is not to add more oils, heavy, hearty, dense foods. But first we cleanse while we're getting enough nutrition to have the energy to go through our day. And then once we've detoxified, then we can add back the oils and the heavier foods. Hope that makes sense. It's a spicy carrot soup. Carrot is a heating vegetable, even though it's a root, and it's sweet, and it should be cooling. And so a spicy carrot is very, very delicious. Very delicious. I think broth is a great tea to drink in the wintertime. So, and then I did add a potato to this one because even though potatoes are nightshade, you're not going to actually eat the potato, but you're going to, the broth will extract those fantastic minerals that are so excellent for, potassium especially, so excellent for detoxifying. Always ginger, lemon, etc. Okay. And to your good health. So that's it for us. Those are the cleanses. I'm so excited to share these cleanses with you. And I'm so excited for you to go through the spring cleanse day by day with Angela Sarah, who's going to guide you through the cleanse with her beauty and her grace, her deep desire to really connect from the heart, in the heart, and also her beautiful, beautiful Ayurvedic wisdom and experience. I'm also excited for you to try these recipes, to see how you like the taste and the flavors, to see what you notice, and then to learn from one another, to hear what others notice. Some may like a recipe, some may not. Some may be designed differently. It'll be interesting to see if the people who are a little bit more kapha may really like the spring cleanse. They may notice it's helping them. People more vata or pitta may find they don't even like the taste of it as much. And that's their body's way of saying, these aren't really so beneficial to me and my prakriti. I'm not sure. I'm just throwing out some options of possibilities of what may or may not happen in this spring cleanse that's coming up. I do invite you to consider having khichdi once a week. I have khichdi 2 to 3 times a week. I like to have khichdi as lunch a few times a week. Sometimes it'll be proper khichdi. Sometimes it'll be just dal, beans, and greens. And then consider some of these cleanse recipes throughout through your daily life. See if you can incorporate more and more of these as you go forward. Incorporating sipping warm water every single day for the rest of your life, not just to cleanse. Hot water if you're more kapha. Very warm water if you're more vata. If it's springtime, add cumin, add ginger, add CCF. These are really, really important because they help the body, as we said, helps fight against the stagnation, helps melt the winter freeze. And once we melt, then of course the rivers swell. We need to make sure that the rivers go to the ocean and they don't back up, right? Because that would just be a right mess. And that's the same thing we're talking about. Melt the freeze, let the tissues release what's gotten stored there and go to the organs of elimination, all the rivers flowing pure and clean, free and open, and then to the ocean, meaning to the organs of elimination, to be released. Or if it's healthy and it's nutritious, to get back and flow properly through those clean rivers, those rivers of pure nourishment and love within you. A cleanse is a great time to gather up your community as well, to remind everybody that nature loves you, that stress isn't helpful, that we live in a world of beauty, radiance, intelligence, generative and regenerative powers. We were born of those very same powers, alive to know those powers, to be supported by those powers, and to do everything we can to remember who we are, to shine the light of the consciousness that we are, and to contribute creatively to the conscious, creative evolution of consciousness itself. to do that in community is not only to be supported by that loving, conscious, creative community, but it is to magnify your intention and your heart multifold. So that's why I want to thank you for joining us in community, and I want to thank you for the light in you. I want to invite you to close your eyes, to feel those beautiful, clean, nourishing rivers flowing within you, to feel your body alive with prana, alive with radiant intelligence, alive with love. From your heart saying to yourself, I am healthy, I am strong, I am powerful, I am free, I am vibrant, I am radiant, I am generative, I am regenerative, I am healthy, I am healing, I am calm. I love me, I love my body, I love my rivers of nourishing intelligence flowing everywhere within me. I love my Agni, I love my cellular intelligence, I love my brain, I love my beauty, I love my skin, I love my belly, I love my heart, I love the indwelling spirit of my heart. And I love the power within me to rise up and shine. To that great Agni Tejas, that great light, that great fire, that great heart of yours, that great eternal infinite spirit within you, I bow, I thank you, and I send you infinite glorious blessings. Namaste.